A little higher after that, right? Give this choir a bus and put them on the road. Let's go. How great to see you on this Epiphany Sunday. This 10th day of the 12 days of Christmas. More about that in just a moment. Invite us to stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and the central focus of Epiphany Sunday is the coming of the wise men or the magi, which is recorded here in Matthew chapter 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And he told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, it stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In our culture, it would seem a little strange to say Merry Christmas now. Trust me, I've tried it, and people look at me like I'm a little foolish. It's more like Happy New Year now than it is Christmas. But in the biblical account, and also in church tradition, Epiphany is still widely celebrated, perhaps more the church in the East than in the West, or in America in particular. We all know the song, "The 12 Days of Christmas." This is the 10th day of the 12 days of Christmas. Tuesday, the 12th day, will be Epiphany Day. This 10 Lords a-leaping in the song. I thought maybe we would sing the 12 days of Christmas today. Y'all all ready for that? No, but it is. The 10 Lords a-leaping would represent, well, one would be the 10 commandments, some may say, or maybe even the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And they were leaping for joy to be released from their disease, infirmity, and also all the marginalization that was a part of that. But today we celebrate Epiphany Sunday. We commemorate the coming of the wise men, bringing their gifts to God. In our version, we kind of converge Christmas down to one day, December 25th. But again, you look at the scriptures, and particularly the wise men who came at a much later time than at the actual birth of Jesus. Some say as perhaps as many as 2 years. And if you calculate all the things that are talked about in these scriptures. And so we commemorate that tradition today. Epiphany on the heels of Christmas. And I know many of you probably put away all your Christmas lights and all your ornaments and all the displays that you have. Although we still have a few of them here in the prophecy, I see. As much has been made about the wise men and who they were. Many believe they came from Persia, which is modern-day Iran. We don't know how many wise men there were, but the three gifts they gave have led many to think there were three wise men. But we really don't know. There have been as many as 14 estimated, perhaps, or thought about. And I will not give the names of those wise men. I get them confused with the three musketeers all the time. But actually, their names are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But the gift they brought were highly significant and symbolic, as we even sang about in the We Three Kings song today. And just don't take a moment to give the symbolism of these gifts that we just again sang about in the hymn. The first gift mentioned was gold. And gold was highly symbolic as a gift of royalty, signifying that Jesus would indeed be king. Now, exactly all these wise men knew about Jesus being king, we do not know. But it does mention in the text here that they did know he was going to be king of the Jews. At least they knew that. But him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of overall creation, we do not know if they knew that reality. But nonetheless, they certainly presented the gift, symbolic of Jesus' kingship, as that's come to be represented through time down to the present day. The second gift was that of frankincense. And frankincense was an incense often used in offering sacrifices, a symbolic of Jesus being our great high priest. Jesus, as a priest, while he lived, offered sacrifices of prayers and intercessions for people. But above all, as the book of Hebrews tells us, he would not only offer up prayers and intercession for people, but he would offer up himself for us as a supreme sacrifice for our sins. And in accordance with the plan of God, Jesus would take our place, bear our burdens of sin upon himself. He would satisfy the righteous demands of God that none of us in our own sinful condition could ever accomplish. The Latin word for priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. In Jesus taking on flesh, coming to dwell among us, he's literally bridged heaven and earth as our great high priest. And this gift of incense represents Jesus as our high priest. And the third gift mentioned is myrrh. And of all the gifts, this one would seem the most unusual, even odd, as we might think, of bringing this gift to a child. Myrrh was a spice that was commonly used to anoint those who had died. Now, why in the world would anyone bring this gift to a child, to a baby? Again, it seems very odd. And certainly the symbolism of this, again, what we just sang about in the hymn, We Three Kings, was indeed that this Christ child was born to die. The gospel informs us that at Jesus' birth, the shadow of the cross overshadowed his life. In one of the great paintings by Holman Hunt, it's on the screen, it shows a picture of Jesus in the carpenter shop with his mother Mary there with him, holding up his hands. As you can see, the shadow behind is the shadow of a cross. And the significance of this gift the wise men brought is certainly represented in Christ's offering of himself for us. Indeed, Christ would be crucified as our Savior. Against many of the representations of what the Messiah would be in his day, and the expectations were there of the Messiah, Jesus would be the suffering Messiah that the prophet Isaiah talked about some 700 years before his birth. We know those famous words from Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, or by his stripes, we are healed. That's Isaiah 53:5. It's hard to imagine 700 years before the coming of Jesus, this prophecy was put forward by Isaiah. Now, as we think about these gifts today, and really the bulk of the sermon is representing the deep symbolism and the significance of the gifts that they brought, what do we learn? What might we learn from those gifts in our own time? I love what Pastor Michael Slaughter put forward a few years ago, and he was really moving us away from our culture and the commercialism of Christmas more to its proper focus. And his statement was simply this: Christmas is not your birthday. That's not to forego our exchanging gifts. He wasn't meaning to put a damper on that, but he was saying perhaps maybe our focus might need to shift toward more than just exchanging gifts among ourselves, and especially as we think about Epiphany Sunday, the gifts we might bring to Christ, the gifts in the same spirit these wise men had to contemplate the gifts that we might bring to Christ. As I thought about these three wise men, If there were more, perhaps there were more, but in the symbolism of these gifts, there were three primary lessons today that we might think about from these wise men. And I think this all has to do more with our stewardship, if I had to put it in a word. First, we would say giving our treasures. The scripture teaches us that the wise men opened their treasures, Matthew 2:12. And we know that these wise men were highly educated. Perhaps through their knowledge and through their experience, they counseled with kings and other rulers. And through that, they had access to great resources, hence these pretty expensive gifts that they brought, especially gold. They knew they were coming to worship the king. Maybe they didn't know he was going to be king of all kings, but they were coming to pay him homage and to worship. This made me reflect over my own treasures, your treasures, how we give those to Christ. Christian author and pastor Gordon MacDonald talked about a trip that he made to Africa, to West Africa, on a mission trip and attending a worship service there. And he said as they were coming into that worship area, people from the region were bringing items. One of them had a crate filled with chickens. Another person had a sack full of yams. Another person had a carton of eggs. Another person had a container of cassava paste. Say that 10 times real fast. Cassava paste. And as they came into the worship setting, the music started, and at one particular part, the people got up, and they were singing, and they were clapping, and dancing, and even praising God. And the people came forward, and they were bringing their gifts. They brought the cassava paste, the chickens, the eggs, the yams. They were all brought forward in that worship service as praise and glory to God. And in that moment, Gordon said, it really dawned on him about his own sense of stewardship and what he was doing, the offerings that he would make to God. And he also recognized in that moment that those eggs would be sold in the marketplace to help those who were less fortunate. The cassava paste would be given to people who had more immediate needs and needed food right away. The eggs would be sold in the market and given to those less fortunate. The chickens would be given to farmers who were struggling to help them in that trade. And as he was caught up in that moment, he recognized the gravity of what was happening. And in his own life, how he viewed his stewardship and the offerings he made to the Lord. And here's what he noted. He said, our gifts may not be large or costly, but we give what we have and the best that we have to God's glory. I think that's exactly what the wise men were doing. And as we think about this new year in our own lives, the gifts to Christ that those wise men gave, thinking about the treasures that we may be offering to the Lord, no matter what size they may be, no matter what value they may be, how expensive or inexpensive they may be, they're all given to the glory and honor of God, to the mission, the further mission of the church to touch people's lives. So first, we think about giving our treasures. Second aspect of this is giving our talents. I mentioned here that these wise men gave their gifts out of the fruit of their labors or their efforts. Perhaps they had great intellectual ability. Their knowledge of astronomy. Many think they were astronomers because of viewing the star. Perhaps they had counseled with people in high positions, gave them access to greater resources. And they simply passed that on as they had received it to Christ. And I think for many of us, perhaps on the opposite end of the scale, we may feel like the little drummer boy. That our gifts might be inadequate, that our talents may be less than excellent. And so we tend to downplay the talents that we have. I tell you, I don't think I'll be instructing Scottie Scheffler on any golfing techniques. And I don't think I'm going to be giving Steph Curry any advice on how to shoot a basketball. And I don't think I'll be giving Paula Deen any tips on cooking. And I don't think I will be giving Eric Clapton any guitar lessons anytime soon. And I'm sure I don't have the intellectual ability that these wise men had. But here's the reality. We all have talents. We all have gifts and abilities in some arena. Some of them may be physical. Some of them may be artistic. Some of them may be musical, as the folks in the choir and the musicians. Some of them may be more intellectual. But we all have talents and abilities. And sometimes, even the ones we think may be lesser than others, God still uses in mighty ways. I was reading about an unusual group who use their talents to glorify the Lord and serve Him and others. It's a dedicated professional group of hairdressers. They are called Him, Hairdressers in the Marketplace. Originated out of the Willow Creek Church in 1989. It was a lady who was attending the church and she didn't find any place of connection there. And she had talent and skill as a hairdresser. So she prayed to the Lord to help her use her talent, to give that to the Lord and for Him to use it. And said as she prayed and asked God why He gave her a talent that was surrounded in many ways by so much vanity, yet God answered her prayers and gave her a vision. And she accumulated many other hairdressers in the community. And they began to reach out into the community to go to places other people were not going. They went to homeless shelters. They went to nursing homes. They went to halfway houses. And they would go there with the love of Christ in their heart, along with their scissors and blow dryers and combs. And it touched lives. And it increased. And it was amazing the impact that they have and are still having as that ministry started in 1998. It's amazing to consider how we might think those things more superficial or less significant, but it met a need, and it was greatly used by God. In this new year, as we think about our own lives, about our own talents and abilities, praying and asking the Lord to direct us and how He might use our particular abilities and talents to glorify His name and to touch the lives of others, that's exactly what these wise men did. And third and last here is giving of our time. The wise men traveled many treacherous miles to present their gifts to Christ. We don't know exactly how long they were on this journey, but it was a long time. Many believe the wise men traveled from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, as I mentioned earlier ago. That's 800 or 900 miles. To reach the Holy Land. A journey that would take months, at least 2 months by caravan. And the scriptures indicate that they came to a house in Bethlehem, not in the stable. Again, this is perhaps as much as 2 years after the birth of Jesus. And I'm sure they were probably asking the age-old question on the back of that camel, are we there yet? When are we ever going to get to see this Christ child? Maybe that's one of the reasons why they were overjoyed when they came to that place. And as the song says, as we sang today, through those treacherous miles, through field and fountain, moor and mountain, through all the dangers of that journey, they came. They were deeply committed to seeing Christ, to worshiping Christ. And they risked at great sacrifice and not quitting along the journey. Recently, someone asked me the question, when is the last time you risk anything for Christ? Think about that. When is the last time you risk anything for Christ? In our context, we have great freedom and a lot of conveniences. And thinking of the journey of the wise men and contemplating that question, it spoke to me about my own commitment. I hope it will speak to you about your commitment as well. Amidst all the distractions, the diversions, and the difficulties. In our own Methodist tradition, it is believed that John Wesley rode over 250,000 miles on the back of a horse, preaching and teaching in many places in England to people, some of whom accepted the message, some did not. But he continued faithfully and helped bring an incredible revival and renewal to the nation. And I was thinking, my little car has almost 90,000 miles on it. It's hard to imagine riding that many miles on the back of a horse, but he did. It's hard to imagine riding that many miles on the back of a camel, but they did. As a global Methodist church, I think of pastors and church leaders today who are walking and bicycling through difficult areas to lead their congregations. Some of them are bicycling through lion country to get to church. I'm glad I didn't have to do that today. But I'm inspired by their faith. I'm inspired by their dedication to the Lord and the time that they give and continue to give sacrificially like these wise men. It does take a level of commitment of time, indeed, even to come to worship the Lord. And I'm thankful that you did that today. And the wise men model a great commitment of their time to seek the Lord. Whatever else they might have done, whatever other journey they might have gone on, whatever business dealings they may have had in their own home region, they set that all aside. And they dedicated their time to bring these gifts to the Lord. As I think about that, and even our coming to Holy Communion in just a few moments, about the commitments we will make, maybe the resolutions we'll even make this year, perhaps this could be part of our own New Year resolution and learning lessons from the wise men in giving our treasures, our talents, and our time to worship Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is our great high priest. He is our Savior who came and was born, become one of us, and live and die for every one of us by name. He is worthy of all of our worship, our time, our talents, and our treasures. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to this time of Holy Communion, may we truly reflect over the gifts of the wise men. But also, Lord, help us be mindful of the gifts that we give to you in this new year. Lord, I pray in thanksgiving most of all for what you have already given to us and the sacrifice that you have made, which is represented even as we come to this holy meal today. May that be imprinted upon our minds and hearts as we start this new year and learn lessons from the wise men in giving our best to you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.